Welcome to Grow Your Influence, leadership conversations for business owners and managers. Whether you own a business and have a team, or leadership is part of your role, welcome, you're exactly where you need to be. Join co-hosts Juliet Robinson and Christy Lee Billett for their regular conversations on all things leadership. No corporate jargon, no textbook ideologies, just real life experience unpacked in a relaxed way to help you be your best boss and lead your team with confidence, clarity, and control. This is Grow Your Influence. Let's dive in.
Christy Lee, hello.
Hey, Juliet, how are you?
I'm well. How are you going?
Very, very well. I'm excited for today's conversation because we alluded to it last episode, and this is one of the hottest topics going around right now.
Totally. There's problems around disconnecting from work. And I think with the rise of virtual teams in the last 18 months or so, this has, as you say, it's become the hot topic. Because when does work end? I saw an article the other day in Forbes, and they had a graph. They had surveyed, I think it was 800 people, and obviously this is in America, but they had a graph of the hours people were working in their virtual teams, and there wasn't any white space on this graph of this 24-hour calendar. So people were working at all hours of the day and night. And there was a bit of a peak in the middle of the day, but essentially there were people working at, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 a.m., whatever it was, which I think is alarming.
Yeah, it's really concerning, and we know the data here in Australia is showing us that we have a huge portion of people heading head first towards burnout, and we do not want burnt out teams because that is no good. We just have huge, you know, obviously productivity issues firstly, but, you know, there's a flow-on effect around mental health and a whole range of other things. But the research is showing us that because of this lack of disconnection, because, and I think I need to point out as well, this is not always the employer's fault. This is often employees very on their own volition working these extra hours because they've lost this pattern and this routine of when it's work time and when it's not work time.
Yeah. And perhaps we've become less efficient because we don't have set work hours in the same way. You know, when you go to work and you just beaver away and then you go home, you know, and you might have lunch or coffee or whatever, but you're basically there to work. Whereas when you're at home, there's the load of washing you can do and there's, you know, something else needs to happen and the dog's desperate for a run and, you know, I'll just put dinner on and it's spreads, doesn't it? And suddenly, you know, it's the evening and you're still working.
Absolutely. And is that constant temptation, like, I'll just quickly do this bit of work before I, you know, do the chores for the morning. So, you know, you're suddenly at your laptop from 6 a.m. to 10 before you've even had a coffee.
Yes.
And then you're to and from for all those reasons. And you've reminded me that I totally forgot to hang out a load of washing today. Still sitting in my washing machine. But, yeah, there is definitely all of that, just the constant availability, or you know that feeling when you read an email at 7 a.m. you weren't planning on starting till 9, but now because you've read it, it's just bothering you and you just want to deal with it. And the person sending the email had no intention for you to read it straight away or action it straight away, but because you've read it, you're suddenly now absorbed into that headspace of work. So it has become an issue. And I think part of the challenge is, with the new hybrid team model, we went straight to trying to create maximum flexibility for our team so they could juggle homeschooling, so they could work when they wanted. And that's awesome, but we forgot to set some boundaries around that.
I think that's true. And also because so many people who are working virtually don't have home offices. They've been sent home to work and they might be, you know, on the dining room table or in a little alcove somewhere that they're walking past all the time. I know when I first started working at home, back in 2000, you know, my desk was in my bedroom. So you're walking past it. So I'll just, you know, check to see if there's any emails. You know, there's not that sort of door you can shut that says, well, that was work and now I'm leaving work and I'm going into my home life.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think, you know, we talked in the last episode about setting boundaries. I think very blurry boundaries around that work-home divide is part of the problem with disengaging.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of research around this concept called the third space. And effectively, it's this concept that was researched very heavily by, I'm trying to give his name now, but it was around a guy that was a sports coach, particularly around high-performance tennis and basketball players. And what he found was those that outperformed the others, we're talking high echelons, really used this third space concept really well. And all it is a moment of pause where you reflect on what's happened, reset your mind and get ready for the next thing ahead. Yeah. And most of us used to call that our commute to and from work.
Yes, yes. Or even moving from one office to the next or one meeting room to the next or, you know, that sort of thing. I totally agree. Whereas now you can just go from Zoom call to Zoom call.
Yeah.
And there is no third space. My father, years ago, we lived in Western Queensland. And we were over an hour from town and he used to say that was his thinking time.
Yeah.
So on the way to town and, you know, that was his third space. He would do all these things about what he needed to do in there and who he was meeting with and plan for those. Then on the way home, he would process it. So by the time he got home, he knew what he wanted to do next, you know. And I think that's, you're right, the commute is when we did that.
Yeah. And I think early on we kind of got good at doing a little bit of this, but now that this is the new norm, it's just gotten very, very blurry. And I think of two examples of people that have got this right. And these are two really good examples. One client I was talking to this week, and she shared with me that what her and her husband both do, that because they're obviously both working from home, is they get up, have breakfast and whatever. They both go together for a walk around the block before they sit down at their desks. And so they've created this third space where we've had our morning together, we'll walk around the block. That's our third space.
Right.
And then that sets them both for work. And I think they do the same at the end of the day. So it doesn't have to be your hour commute, but creating that boundary, that buffer zone between work and home, I think is really valuable.
I think so too. I was reading the other day about how much healthier it is for you to actually go outside before you sit down for work. So just go for a little walk, not just get up, you know, eat, get coffee, whatever, and sit at your desk. Actually go out, get some fresh air, for however long you can, and then come back and sit down. So I think there is real research now happening into this because we're all being forced into this position. And if you're in lockdown, it's even harder.
You can't go too far from your house. Yeah. You've got a few kilometre radius.
It's not very far to go. That's exactly right.
But I think what we need to do as leaders is talk to our teams about this. We need to lead by example and do it for ourselves. And this client I was referring to is a general manager in a business, so she's really leading by example. But leading by example in terms of us creating those boundaries ourselves, but talking to our team about how that might look for them and encouraging them to find a way to make it happen. Even if it's sitting on the back deck with a coffee, it doesn't have to be, you know, leaving the house if you're, you know, juggling the homeschool thing. But create some routine around that in their lives, some connect and disconnect points.
It's interesting that this a team I was working with last year when we went, when we were all locked down in Melbourne, used to have morning tea every morning and you could turn up or not, it was up to you, just for half an hour, just to have a chat. And a number of them used that as their time to get out and have a walk. So they would be out walking somewhere if it was nice. And just tune into the conversation. And there was such a great, you know, the rest of us would be going, oh, that's what I need to do. I need to actually get up and walk around.
I need to not eat the cookies and the cake.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And I think that was really important. But also the team leader would actually disengage. So he wouldn't respond to email after 6 o'clock at night. He had a young son and he would say, actually, I need to have time with my family. And, you know, my son needs to see me. And that was a really great way of kind of signalling that disconnect. So people knew you could get him very early in the morning. He would be around early, but, you know, after six, that was his time.
Yeah, and I love that. And I think this is where we need to do better as in leading our teams in this is really clearly communicating. And it doesn't mean that everyone's work has to be the same. I think you can still have total flexibility. People can work when suits them, when they're, you know, most productive and creative, or, you know, if they're working around homeschooling, work around that. You can have that total flexibility, but have some really clear communication about what are our boundaries as teams. So it might be, just as you said, everyone says, this is when I'm on, this is when I'm off. So there's no expectation that if you send them an email after those hours that they will look at it or respond. Or it could be that we don't send emails and we schedule the email to send the next morning. You could create it to work for your business. I don't think you need to lose the flexibility, but I do think you need to have a really good talk amongst your team about how this can work for you so that there are opportunities for everyone to disconnect.
I think so. And I think just encouraging that disconnection too is really important. I think probably even more so during times of lockdown. If you've got people in your team who are locked down, I think it's really important to encourage them to just stop and do it every day, not just, you know, once a week.
Yeah, absolutely.
And actually, yeah, get them away from all of work, because you do, you need time.
Yeah. And what you and I know from the work we do is there is a law of diminishing returns. The more hours you put in, the more productive you don't get. It gets to a tipping point where the more hours you put in, you become less productive.
I think that's so true.
That's important for the team to understand too, that they're going to be better and more productive if they don't burn the candle at both ends.
Years ago, I worked with a woman, and she was part of quite a big team in an emergency services environment, and she did a lot of her work at odd hours of the day and night, because that's what worked for her, and her partner was a shift worker and all that sort of thing. But she had a thing in the footer of her emails that said, I work at unusual hours, I don't expect you to.
Yeah.
So please respond to this when it suits you. And it was such a great signal, because it freed the rest of the team to go, oh, thank God, you know, because this email came in at 3 a.m. She's not expecting me to respond, you know, by 7 or something ridiculous. And she honestly wasn't. She was really conscious of not impinging on other people's space. But it meant that she could then disconnect when she needed to as well.
I really love that. I've seen a similar footer in an email and I loved it. And I've also seen footers in emails that will say something like, I check my emails between this time and this time each day.
Yes.
So almost like an autoresponder. And look, if I can get my world to that state, I will be so, so pleased.
Oh God, me too.
I'm like a slave to the email. But I think, you know, there are these things that we can do.
Yes.
And most of us, when we send an email at a weird time, I am a bandit for sending a 5:30 a.m. email, but I'm not going to be emailing you at 10 o'clock at night. I don't think anyone's going to be reading it, and certainly don't expect a response of any sort at that time. But that's just when I happen to be working. So I think most people send those emails not with any thought or intention that people will be responding.
Mm.
But if you haven't communicated that to your team, it's a bit challenging for them to know.
I think so, yeah. I think it's also really important at the moment, when there's so much going on in the world, you know, if your work is busy and there's all of this COVID chaos, and there's, you know, events in the world going on that can be really stressful. I think being able to just step back as well, you know, and put your feet in the grass and step away from your computer for a while is really important, just for everybody's mental health, apart from anything else. And I use that in the widest possible term.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. And we're seeing now things start to actually get mandated in the HR world around this disconnection. We saw recently the Victorian Police Service have actually added a clause into their enterprise agreement around the right to disconnect, and it has some really strict rules around not contacting people on their day off and not contacting them during, you know, out of work hours, because they started to see the impacts of this. And I'm sure that's the first of many organisations that we're going to see adopt this at a more, you know, technical level. But it doesn't have to be that technical. We can have a much more practical approach. But I think it's interesting to see that it is getting implemented at that level.
Wow, yes, yes. And that's where it's heading, isn't it?
Yeah.
That we preserve people's sanity in a way.
Yeah, almost like the right to annual leave. It's now the right to disconnect is part of, you know, the workplace obligations. And I think it's really good that they've articulated it, because there's no confusion and everyone is just clear on what they need to do and when it is okay or not okay.
Yes, and respectful of that time when you're not at work, when you're, you know, so you're all on when you're there.
Yep.
But when you're not there, there's just no expectation that you will be keeping up with anything.
Exactly right. Yeah, and you know, important in that industry, because it's heavy emotional and physical work, policing.
Totally.
But
equally
important no matter what you do.
Mm. Yeah, no, I think that's really interesting. And I think that's, as you say, yeah, that's it's such a valuable thing for staff because they're so clear then.
Yes.
About what's expected.
Yeah, yeah. There's no guilt. There's no, you know, anxiousness. Yeah. It's just really, really clear. So I think there's lessons there, definitely.
Mm, totally. So some role modelling required.
Yep.
Yes, and some clarity. Just yep. being clear.
Role modelling, clarity, having that open communication so everyone knows, and just really encouraging that opportunity to disconnect, to create that third space, and to be really clear about when we're working and when we're not working.
Yep.
And that there's no expectation for anyone to be responsive when it's not their work time.
Mm, yeah, no, perfect. Great.
Yes.
Excellent. I think
that's a good topic for the moment. So
and I think we're going to come back something. To it.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Yes, I hope that's useful. But I think, yes, we will keep coming back to this one mm-hmm. because I think it's one of those issues that's not going away at the moment while we're all at home and with the new sort of virtual and hybrid working.
Yeah, it's an evolving sort of concept.
Mm. Yeah, totally agree. Thank you, Christy Lee. Great to talk.
Great to chat, Juliet. We'll talk again next episode.
See you then.
Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a rating, comment, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to recommend us to a friend. We also love hearing suggestions for topics or guest speakers that you would love to hear from. The best way to reach us to give us those suggestions is over on our Facebook page. Simply head to Facebook and search Grow Your Influence. See you there.